Where can you find hope for the hopeless? Opportunity for transformation. Peace amid life's storms. Only in God's free gift of eternal life. From New York, join us on the Pathway of Hope.
Moses was casually conversing with God, and during the dialogue, Moses said to God, "Please, Lord, can I see your glory?" The loving, gracious, and merciful God that he is acquiesced to Moses' request, but with stipulations. One of them had to do with him being placed in the cleft of the rock and being covered by God's hand until God passed by. In the New Testament, Luke records that the landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord, and they, the shepherds, were badly frightened. Oh, but we thank God that one day, in the not too distant future, that we shall see him face to face, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, we shall see him by and by. What a glorious day that will be. Sit back with your Bibles opened as Dr. A.J. Jules shares in the subject he has entitled, The Glory of God.
It is well with my soul. Let us pray. Our loving Lord and Father, we tonight take another look at you and your goodness and care and compassion toward us. As we search your words, we find that you are a loving and caring God. And tonight we reminisce with the patriarchs of old and the believers from ancient days. We see that you are merciful, kind, and gracious. As this word is brought forth tonight, we pray that someone hearing will feel invigorated spiritually and make a full surrender to your Lordship. May this word go forth to bless someone in need of that blessing tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. There's a word for us. As a matter of fact, tonight I want to bring to you an exposition of a compiled passage of Scripture from the book of Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 to the 34th chapter and verse 6. But tonight I'll read in your hearing verses 18 and 19 of the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter. And it reads, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Tonight we'll look at the glory of God and what it means out of this passage of Scripture as we look at God, not what God looks like physically, but who God really is in terms of his character. I believe God wants us to know him as he really is. The devil has portrayed God the way he wants to portray him, as a tyrant, uncaring, unloving. But God wants us to know who he really is, what his character is made up of, and he wants us to be able to respond in love to the kind of God that he is. Exodus chapter 33 all the way to chapter 34 gives us a glimpse into who God really is. After months of weary journey, the people of Israel finally came to Mount Sinai. The cloudy pillar of God's presence rested upon its massive summit. And the Bible says the people spread their tents on the plain beneath. Now this was to be their home for almost a year. At night, the pillar of fire assured them of God's divine protection. And while they slept, these Israelites, while they slept, the bread of heaven fell gently in their encampment. You see, it was at Mount Sinai that God manifested himself and gave to them his law. It was a solemn yet impressive scene. The people had entered into covenant with God. Scripture tells us in Exodus 24 and verse 18 that God then summoned Moses to Sinai to meet with him in conference. Moses had been gone for 40 days. Chapter 31 reports that when the people did not see Moses, they rebelled. During his absence in this time of waiting and suspense, the people violated the covenant. Accustomed as they had been in Egypt to material representation of the deity, it was hard for them to trust an invisible God. And they had come to rely upon Moses to sustain their faith. But day after day, week after week passed, and still Moses had not returned. And in this moment of testing, they failed. Sacred history tells us that they built a golden calf and worshipped it. This fueled God's anger, who declared his separation from his people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go get down, for your people, who you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." Isn't it amazing that God now tells Moses it's his people? God wanted to destroy them and make of Moses a new nation, Exodus 32 and verse 10 tells us. But Moses interceded, asking God to remember that they were his children in verse 11. Speaking with boldness, Moses recalled that they were the children of God's covenant people and begged that God would not destroy them. God then instructed Moses to return to the camp. And upon seeing the idolatry, this great man of God was so moved that he destroyed the tables of stone upon which had been written the Ten Commandments. Then he passed swift judgment upon the people. Having ground the golden calf into a fine powder, he mixed it into the water and made the people drink. Then called for a separation between those who were on God's side and those who were not. We are told that the whole tribe of Levi followed him. The people's sin of idolatry signally called for their separation from God. And in chapter 33, God divorces himself from the people. Yet, because of his faithfulness to Moses and to his covenant, he says in verse 2, I will send an angel before you. Here God is saying that he himself will not be present with these rebellious and rambunctious people. Moses reported this to the people. They became afraid. Moses then went to the tabernacle of the congregation to meet with God. And that meeting is described in Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through chapter 34 and verse 3. The essence of that conversation is Moses' plea that God himself will accompany the people. If God goes with them, then all will be well. Without God, they would be nothing, verse 16 says. Now this is made clear in that if God is with them, that is what made them different from the surrounding nations. I see a few things here. First of all, you see it is God's nature to be good. That's just how God is. We do not have to be afraid of him. He is a wonderful God. In Exodus 34 and verse 6, as God passed by Moses, hidden in the cleft of the rock, he declared his glory when he exclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Now, the idea of grace is very fascinating. Interestingly, grace and mercy frequently go together. Look at chapter 33 and verse 19. God says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy to whom I will show mercy. In chapter 34 and verse 6, God proclaims himself as being merciful and gracious. But grace is also associated with patience. That's why God declares that he is long-suffering. Here we have three words stacked together for emphasis. Grace, mercy, and long-suffering. They are telling us something about the nature of God's glory. In other words, the best manifestation of God's glory is seen in his grace. And that is sweetened with mercy and blessed with long suffering. Grace is often defined as divine favor or divine kindness. As used here in Exodus 34 and verse 6, the adjective hanam, used 13 times in the Old Testament, is applied only to God. He alone is described as gracious. By nature, God is gracious. And he gives his grace without regard or merit of the one who receives it. Now, we have to remember two basics when it comes to grace. One, it is free. It cannot be reciprocated or returned. It is not a case of you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Grace is free. It is not something which is dictated. It is free. But secondly, grace is also rooted not in what people do, but in what God does. God's disposition is to be gracious in ways that go beyond human thinking, reasoning, or expectations. The King James Version says that God is abundant in goodness. Now, this is a translation of the Hebrew word chesed. Its meaning is wide. It refers to love and kindness, steadfast and unfailing love, mercy and goodness. It is the kind of goodness and fidelity that binds us in covenant relationship. One word in English is not sufficient to provide an adequate translation of that Hebrew word. It refers to love that is not easily disrupted. Love that does not play games or fools around. Chesed is deep, sincere, pure love. When all else fails, there's chesed. When all else departs, there's chesed. When all else is destroyed, there is chesed. When all else is despised, there is chesed. It is the embodiment of the character of God. It is the reflection of the personality of God. It is the personification of God. Grace and mercy, or chesed, is who God is. Little wonder Romans 8 declares, can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, suffering, hard times, hunger, nakedness, death, or danger? I am sure that nothing can separate us from God's love. Not life, nor death, not the angels of heaven, not the present or the future, not the powers above or the powers below. Nothing in our creation can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love demonstrates his glory and his character. But God's glory is further demonstrated through forgiveness. The best demonstration of God's glory is in his ability to forgive us. Exodus 34:7 expresses it this way. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. In Hebrew, there are three words which point to wrongdoing. And all three are used in this text. Iniquity, transgression, and sin. The first, iniquity, from the Hebrew awan, used 229 times, speaks about errors or deeds that are crimes against God. It is incipient wickedness. Then we have the word transgression, from the Hebrew pesha, used 135 times, signifies willful, knowledgeable violation of the will of God. It is not an inadvertent mistake. It stems from a rebellious and revolting attitude. In international politics, when one party violated a covenant with another, this was the word used to designate such breach of contract. So it is the rebellion. It is the rebellion against God. Finally, we have another word. It's called sin, from the Hebrew word kata, used 595 times. It means to miss the mark, to miss a specified goal. It comes from archery. When the archer's arrows miss the bullseye, it misses the mark. Now, this stacking up of words emphasizes the terrible nature of sin and its results, its guilt and consequences. They do not show gradations of sin. These words do not intend to show levels of sin. They are all pointing to the nature of sin as an egregious and violent disregard for the will of God. But it is precisely here that we see the glory of God, because he is willing to forgive all of these sins. The Hebrew for forgive is nasa, which literally means to lift up. God is willing to lift our sin and guilt and its consequences off of our shoulders. We do not have to bear that guilt. He'll bear it for us. He will lift it out of our lives. And all this speaks to God's glory. Let us explore the depths of this matter of forgiveness. It means to pardon, to acquit, to set free. Forgiveness means that whatever wrongs have been committed have been completely cleared. So much so that it is as though the person never committed those offenses. What intrigues me is that the Bible, the only religious book to speak of complete forgiveness, uses various paintings to depict the loveliness of God's glory in forgiving us. The Bible speaks of our forgiveness as being total. The psalmist sings in Psalm 103, verses 8 to 12, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and full of mercy. He will not always chide, he will not always keep his anger. He has not dealt with us according to our sin. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him or reverence him. As far as the east is from the west, this is how far he has removed our transgression from us. It is complete reversal. It is a complete transformation. Isaiah 1:18 denotes, though your sins be as scarlet, he says, I will make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I shall make them as wool. It also represents a blotting out. Using an erasure, it gets rid of all of our stain. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions. It is divine forgetting. Jeremiah 31:33 plainly teaches, I will forgive your iniquity and I will not remember your sins. How is it that God, who knows everything, does not remember your sins? It is because he chooses to forget. That is his nature. That's his character. That's his glory. It is a cancellation of your debt. Micah 7:19 declares, I will cast all these sins into the depth of the sea. This is a case of impossible retrieval. Isaiah 38:17 adds to this by saying that God throws all my sins behind his back. It is a cleansing. 1 John 1:9 promises, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Now this comes from the picture of washing clothes. If there were a stain or a dirt mark, the person who washes the clothing continues to do so until that stain is totally removed. It is absolutely cleansed. Once forgiven, those sins are erased and they are washed away. The glory of God is expressed in the grace of God, which we experience in the forgiveness of God. But there's something else about the glory of God. The glory of God speaks to the justice of God. God's glory is also expressed in his justice. God does not leave the guilty unpunished. This is the implication of Exodus 34:7, when God says, I will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity upon generations to come. Now, this does not mean that God is arbitrary in his forgiveness. It does not mean that God forgives some people but ignores others. Scripture is its own best interpreter. So let us allow Scripture to interpret this text. Dealing with the character of God, Psalm 103:8-16 speaks about God's mercy and his grace, and that God being very slow to anger. Then in dealing with the justice of God, it says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who reverence him. And his righteousness is unto their children and their children's children, unto such as those who keep the covenant and those that remember his commandments to do them. Those who are willing to follow the will of God will receive his approval and his blessings. But those who refuse to obey are deemed guilty. Now that is why Exodus 34:7 says that by no means will he clear the guilty, those who refuse to follow his will and his way. Moses asked to see God's glory. And instead of God showing him just his physical features, God showed Moses his character. He did not show Moses what he looked like. He pronounced who he is. God's glory is his character. What is intriguing is that upon that revelation, Moses fell before God in worship. Today we get a lot of hype in worship. We can sing and shout, and shout amen and praise the Lord and clap until the heavens resound. But before that, we must experience the glory of God. We receive his goodness and his grace. He has placed his name upon us. We enjoy his forgiveness. In his justice, he will not excuse sin. Like Moses, if you want to see his face, fall before God and worship him. Our God is good and merciful and gracious. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. If you want to know what God is like, look at His glory and see Him as He truly is. Loving Lord, we thank You for this revelation tonight. As You have revealed Yourself to us, help us tonight and always to embrace You as our Lord and our Savior. And may we see You for who You really are, a great and loving God, who is not willing that any should perish, but that we should all come to repentance. Thank You for this word. Thank You for what it has done for us. Thank You for the blessings it has brought to our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thanks for watching Pathway of Hope. If you would like to be prayed for or would like to learn more about God's Word, please call 1-877-520-HOPE or 1-877-520-4673. You may also watch more of our programs online at www.pathwayofhope.tv. If you would like to make a tax-deductible love gift, please send your gifts to Pathway of Hope at P.O. Box 280704, Queens Village, New York, 11428. Thanks for watching Pathway of Hope, and may God's blessings be yours today.